Conservative Theological University is now offering your first online course at no cost to you. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will only pay for your textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes direct to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We're asking the question today, should we pray and ask God to heal our land? What does it mean in 2 Chronicles 7:14? We have with us today Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. We're going to have a roundtable discussion for a few minutes on that one verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Dr. Phelps, I'll start with you. Where we look at the text is, if my people, in the context it's Israel, but in application, what does it apply to? Does it apply to the church today? The reason I say that, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, is because I've had so many people down through the last years, less than 100, that have said, well, that doesn't apply to the church. Explain that differentiation in opinion and whether it applies to the church. If my people, who are the my people that God's speaking to there, and how does it apply today?
One of the things that I have learned from studying the scriptures is that there are portions of all of the Bible that we can apply to our lives, even though it's not spoken directly to us. Mm-hmm. It is for us. According to Paul's estimate of the Old Testament scriptures in Romans chapter 15, he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
Yes.
That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so, we believe that we should not discard the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. We should not think of it as being unprofitable to us. Mm-hmm. Many do. Many have said we should just discard or abandon the Old Testament. Well, you begin to abandon part of it, and you'll eventually end up abandoning all of it.
Yes, in fact, Jesus' earthly ministry, he kept quoting from the Old Testament. The Old Testament, Old Testament.
that was all that Jesus and his disciples had until Jesus came and spoke to them, revealed the new truths. But God has given us the record of the Old Testament and the witness of the book of the people of Israel, God's chosen earthly people, for a reason. All the scriptures are profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so we should heed all of the scriptures. We believe that that we as the church today are God's chosen heavenly people. Mm-hmm. our citizenship is in heaven. But God is adding to the church both Jews and Gentiles today, and that's the makeup of the New Testament church.
Absolutely.
So it's very important that we pay attention to that.
Yes.
So what we read about the Old Testament people in the chapter we're looking at and all those following and before that are very valuable to us. We should count all the scriptures valuable for learning the truth and for knowing God's will for our lives. God gave some of the record concerning the evil kings of Israel, for example, like Rehoboam and others who did not seek the Lord, so that we'll know what we should not do.
That's right.
It'll be a negative influence on us.
Yes, absolutely. So when we get to it, Dr. David says, if my people, which are called by my name, could we say that speaking today to Christians?
Well, we are the ones that are wearing his name today.
That's right.
You know, if we are Christians, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's who you're supposed to be, if you're in that affected class, you need to know and understand everything written in this Bible applies to you. God are holding you to the highest standard.
Absolutely.
Which is his word. So he expects for you to obey his word in the fullness.
Absolutely. So if we say in this text, now we're talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture that President Donald J. Trump read on national television and was condemned, chided, and blasphemed as a result of it. And yet when we look at it, the scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name. So I am calling this the problem that hinders the healing. The problem that hinders the healing would be my people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, that have those that are standing in the pulpit, that just as the article I read just a moment ago, where a preacher stands at the pulpit and corrects Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Saying it's metaphorical and not real, that he's not the only way. Just as you can get on an airplane and go wherever you want to go for your destination, so you can be any denomination and you're still going to get to your destination in that place called heaven. So I say the problem that hinders the healing lies at the doorsteps of the local New Testament church. It is the church that God sees today as being the one that needs to intercede before God, asking God to heal our land, asking God to provide the needs in our land. So I call it the problem that hinders healing. If my people, which are called by my name. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, do you call on the name? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? If you have, you're part of the if my people, which are called by my name. If we're called Christians, we need to recognize the responsibility as a child of God, and that is in this text very clearly as we see it today. So we'll transition. Dr. Phelps, we look at, as I call it, the problem that hinders healing, my people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this text, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to tell us, announce to us, and take a moment, in just a moment, to review that, the process that hastens the healing. God gives us in this text the process. It's humility, it's prayer, it's seeking God, turning from our wicked ways. We're going to look at that piece by piece in just a moment. But I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. I hope y'all doing well. And number one, tell your wives have a happy Mother's Day. And I tell you, gentlemen, this country is going down the tubes if we do not pray.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Because I've seen in my lifetime, I'm less than 100, in my lifetime, nobody really talk about what's the end time. Well, you got some preachers that do, but I'm in an AME church. They never talk about that. They talk about Jesus, you know, coming to the earth and he's a child in the manger and all that. No, but he's coming back as a conqueror.
That's right. Well, Kenneth, let me announce some good news to you. There's a place on Old St. Augustine Road. It's called First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, that's got an extra seat for you any Sunday. Love yes, to have sir. You. It would be a blessing. Yes, Kenneth, sir. We've got others holding that we need to get to, but thank you, brother, so much for your call, and you're exactly right. There's a need for us to recognize today that Jesus Christ is coming, and is coming soon. We need to get our house in order. We need to recognize that in this text, if my people, which are called by my name, is addressing you and me today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Thank you so much, Kenneth, for your call. I believe Woody's on the line. Woody, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Thank you for taking the call, and good afternoon, gentlemen. This you haven't asked me to do this. I want to make it brief, but it's an imperative statement that there is a reason that we need now to be praying and repenting and doing what we're doing. That message is going out very clearly to all the land, but I want people to understand that let's face the issues with Dr. Gene Hay Youngblood is an essential broadcast every day. It's not, you know, it's not a massive audience is listening to you, but it is an imperative message, dispensational message that you are putting out. And it is those who understand the dispensational message that God is working in specific ages, doing specific things, that has brought us now to these last days where we are. It is an imperative for people to understand, to hear. Many are called, few are chosen. People need to listen to and support this station. You didn't ask me to say that, but it is an imperative, because if we don't hear the message that we need to repent and to pray and to humble ourselves before God and turn from our wicked ways, then they're going to miss this. And here's a quick metaphor. It's something like C.S. Lewis said. I want to just build a picture, and then I'm going to go off the air. There's a big city out there, and this message is being broadcast over loudspeakers, but people are too busy to hear it generally. The message is this: in this city, something really bad is coming, and you need to get out of the city. In that city is a little train station, and there are people now who actually have heard that message, and they're beginning to gather on the platform, some even who have this kick in their hand that says culture of Christ, are being admitted. They're getting on the train right now. The train's going to leave fairly soon. But most people out there are listening. Those that have the ticket to get on that train that's going to leave and escape what's coming are people who are those who heeded 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, many profess, but very few actually have his imprimatur on them. Many are called, few are chosen. Those who are able to get on the train to leave, which is going to leave very soon, are those who are, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The time is coming very soon for this train to leave. The public departure time isn't precisely published, but it's going to leave. And people who don't listen to Let's Face the Issues, those who don't understand the dispensational reality that we're in the end days and time is short, going to be left. They won't even make it to the platform, but they'll try to run when all Hades breaks loose. Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking the call, and that's really what I wanted to say.
Woody, thank you so much, and your invitation for people to support the broadcast. I second the motion. We spend thousands of dollars each month for this program to be broadcast each day, and we're dependent upon our listeners to support that, and it's a far cry from it being supported fully, but we're thankful for each one that gives, for each one that's blessed, and we need to recognize, as Woody just said, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in the last of the last days, and the rapture of the church can take place at any moment, and then the 7 years of tribulation break loose. Once the rapture takes place, it's eternally too late to wonder what should be done. It's too late to say, let's go to Sunday school. It's too late to say, let's go to church. It's too late to say, let's pray. It's too late to say, let's study the Bible. It's too late to say, what about Jesus? What should we do with that person called Jesus? I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, Dr. Youngblood, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hello,
to
Brother
you. God
Jim.
Bless you. Thank you.
Addressing Old Testament scripture being relevant to today's Christianity there, one story from the Bible in one verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 there, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Amen.
The other story is about a woman named Naomi who had two sons who married two women that were out of the land there. I think one was named Ruth and the other one was named Obidah. Did I get that right? Or I always have trouble with that second girl's name.
I think that's right.
Anyway,
that's close enough Ruth, for me today. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ruth flat out said, no, I will not leave you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And she was not of the nation. And look where she got placed in the lineage of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very relevant to everyone today who believes that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that all scripture is for sound doctrine.
Yes, absolutely. The key to it is, Jim, and I'm prayerful that our listeners are clinging on to the essence of what we're saying today. The key to it is not to cast away the Word of God, not to say the Word of God, just as the article I read earlier where a preacher says that Jesus was speaking metaphorically and not literally when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As the article reads, the preacher's correcting Jesus. It ought to be where Jesus' words correct us today. And when we look at the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it gives us the problem that hinders healing, and that is if my people and the process that hastens the healing of a land is fourfold. I'm going to touch on this, Jim, and let you go, and we'll discuss these. But number one is humility. Number two, this is the process, prayer. And number three is seeking God's face. And number four is turn from their wicked ways. So I believe there's a need for us to ingest this message and understand in the application of it to our lives that we can ask God to heal our land. But there's a process that must be done, taking place, before we can expect God to answer and to hear from heaven and heal our land. And it's my prayer today, Jim, that our land can be healed. It's a tall order, but I believe it starts at the doorsteps of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim, thank you so much for your call,
thank
brother.
You.
And God bless you as we keep looking up.
Bless you,
too. Dr. Phelps, I'm going to throw this out. You and Dr. Davis can have dialogue together on this. What does it say when it says, shall humble themselves? We're talking about humility. What does humility mean?
Sometimes people act the way they do because they're proud.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to humble themselves. They are boastful, arrogant, and many times people have that attitude toward God, and they don't humble themselves in the sight of God.
I think this is, if I can jump in a minute, I think this article I'm reading here, headline says, make no sense. Preacher corrects Jesus, who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's an illustration there of arrogance.
Yes.
And pride.
Yes.
And not humility.
Right. There's some other words in this passage that we can emphasize. I'll just mention them. We're called upon to humble ourselves, number one. Number two is pray. Number three is seek. And God says, then I will hear their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think it's possible for us to be so proud that we don't humble ourselves. And many times, many people I've met in the past who were so humble that they were proud of it.
I'm the humblest person in the room, so I'll put my name in the bulletin this Sunday. Dr. Davis, when it says pray, humble, humility, that is, as I call it, putting aside pride, recognizing God and not self as being the final authority, and then pray. Prayer is, there are a lot of people who think that prayer changes God's mind. Prayer allows God to change our mind and our heart as we pray, as we submit and surrender to Him. So when we say that, Dr. Davis, is it important for it, as in the context of this text, does this apply to just everybody, just pray, lost and saved? Or is it just the church that is in humility before God and prayer, seeking God's face. What does it mean to seek God's face?
Well, when we consider what the Apostle Peter said about judgment must begin at the house of God.
Amen.
And then after that, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear?
Mm-hmm.
Revival and everything, all of it. See, we got to remember, when God first gave his word in written form, I'm just going to say written form, mm-hmm. to start off with, he didn't give it to everybody. He gave it to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chosen set of people. All right, and that's the same thing that it means today, in other words. So what I'm saying is that since Israel has received the word and the church has received the word, then we are held, once again, to a higher standard. We are held, in other words, to more accountability than the rest of the other people.
Absolutely.
So then again, getting back to what I said earlier, revival and everything must start with us.
Yes.
So then, when we pray, we have to understand how important prayer is, because it's not just repeating a set of words that you might have been trained to repeat. It's your open communication with God himself.
Serious, so serious entreaty before the throne of God.
Amen. So you got to learn now, as people of God, and I learned this by way of experience. I can tell you this because I know this.
Amen.
When you pray God's word back to him, he is obligated to fulfill his word if you are living right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not doing what the word of God says to do, if there are no fruit in your life coming from doing the word of God, obeying his word, then he is under no obligation to fulfill that word in your life.
I'm glad you said that, Dr. Davis, because it brings us to a point that I believe we need to dwell on for the balance of our broadcast. Because the scripture says in this text, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What does that mean, Dr. Phelps?
The word turn in the scriptures in several locations is the same, or rather has the same meaning or connotation as repent.
Repent.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening in the time of Solomon and the people of God when they heard God say these words, God was really showing them how to deal with sin and rebellion on their part, and that would interfere with their fellowship and their walk with God.
Absolutely.
So he was telling them how to repent, actually, turn or return. All right, both words were used in the Old Testament and in the New. But we either continue on in sin and practice sin, or we confess it and forsake it.
Yes.
And that's called repentance. If we deal with sin by confessing and forsaking sin, we're doing what the scriptures call repenting or turning.
Absolutely. So if we need to, as a nation, if we're praying for God to heal our land, and we need to seek his face, we need to pray, and we need to turn from our wicked ways, meaning, as you said so clearly, repent. What do we need to repent of as a nation? We have, in fact, I've just, Dr. Davis, I could sit here for the balance of this broadcast and talk about the things that we need to repent of. Murdering by way of abortion. We need to repent of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that some churches are embracing. We need to repent of the transgenderism that's permeated our society and destroying our young people for generations to come. We need to stop advocating for pot and other drugs that are destroying our nation today. So there's a lot that we need to repent of before we can say, God, heal our land. Am I right or wrong?
Well, if we go to Leviticus chapter 18, and I don't care how much people say we don't need the Old Testament. All of it is the word of God.
Amen.
So we need it all.
Mm-hmm.
When he told Ezekiel to eat the scroll, he said eat the whole roll, not part of it.
Right.
So then it applied the same way to us today. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but if we go to Leviticus chapter 18 and read what happened in the past and understand that the same thing can happen again, but God warned his people back then not to repeat those things that happened. Let's go just for a few verses right there. Leviticus 18, and I'm going to stop reading that verse number 5 and just comment on the rest. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, Leviticus 18, 1, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Verse 4, ye shall do. That's a command. He said, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Verse 5, I'm going to stop right there. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So God is promising you a good life. Mm-hmm. If you obey his commandments and keep them. Now, from verse 6 all the way to verse 22, he's speaking against sexual immorality and idolatry in the land, which, like you said, we're doing that right now in the United States. A lot of that kind of stuff is happening. And then also, he speaks to the shedding of innocent blood.
Yes.
So he said in verse number 24, if you do these things, the land will spew you out. There will be no acceptance. In other words, no way for you to be able to live a life completely in God because of these things that are happening in the land that is against his word.
That pretty much matches what we're talking about today in the land of America today, as we call it. Let me read this in final thought. If my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, notice the then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sins, and then heal their land. The then is understood in three other places there in the text. Then. So, ladies and gentlemen, the promise that hastens the healing for our land is then. Then when? When Christians pray, when we stop pride and come in before God in humility and realizing that he is God and he is on the throne. When we pray and seek God's face, that seeking to please God. When we repent of our personal and national sins, God promises, then I will hear from heaven and then will heal their lands.
And he said, Dr. Youngblood, these things were good for his people as well as the sojourners.
Absolutely.
Huh? Anyone else who comes in from outside of the country, they have to abide by the same rules.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's our prayer that this has been a blessing today. It's our prayer that you've heard and that you will join in the plea, the plan that God has for us to come before him in humility, seeking his face, confessing our sins, and asking him to heal our land, and then he will heal our land. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Happy Mother's Day, Dr. Dorothy.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's lesson.